Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the fair cooperation of the new creature. Chapter 3. The necessity of appropriate moderation in the practice of cooperation. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. One aspect that is associated with the matter of a Christian's cooperation with God and with other people refers to the fact that the practice of this type of action always involves more than one cooperative agent, as we saw in the previous chapter when we considered the aspect that the appropriate cooperation of a Christian is always associated with one carrying it out under the cooperation of the Lord towards one's life. And once there is an understanding that a Christian is called to perform all one's acts of cooperation in conjunction with the Lord and also with those whom the Lord appoints to act together, there is also a need for a sober understanding of the attributions of each party involved and the extent to which each party is called to act in the respective cooperation. If some parties involved in a context of cooperation do not have a sober understanding of the part that is appropriate to them, the objective collaboration of those who are unaware of what is expected of them may turn out to be more harmful than beneficial. By teaching Christians to position themselves appropriately also in the collective aspects of life, Paul instructs them to think with moderation or sobriety according to what God distributes to each person. And this is necessary because, as explained above by Paul, lack of sobriety, even as a result of zeal, but without understanding, can manifest itself not only in the sense of a Christian's negligence of what is expected of him or her, but also regarding what a Christian thinks beyond or above what one should consider about oneself. When people do not think in moderation about their role in cooperation with God and other individuals, they may fall into positions where they seek to take on inappropriate roles and may go so far as even to seek to take on roles in relation to other people's lives that are exclusively God's and certainly do not contribute to beneficial cooperation. Moreover, when people seek to assume the functions that exclusively belong to God, they oppose not only the people with whom they declare that they want to cooperate, but they also oppose God Himself by trying to deny Him the power, position, or function that exclusively belongs to the Lord, as is also mentioned in the following texts. Titus 1, 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 5. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, or denying the Lord's power. And from such people turn away. When, for example, a person thinks that one can cooperate with other individuals and God by offering oneself to be a mediator for others in their relationship with the Lord, one thinks of oneself more than one should and is already far away from thinking soberly or in moderation, for by doing so, this person puts oneself in direct opposition to what the Lord declares in the Scriptures on this point, as follows. 1 Timothy 2, 5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Matthew 23, 8-10. But you, do not be called rabbi, or guide, teacher, or leader, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, or guides, or leaders, for one is your teacher, the Christ. On the one hand, appropriate cooperation includes a willingness to help and act in favor of others. On the other hand, however, it also encompasses respecting what others have to do, at the risk of a person who claims to want to cooperate trying to place oneself as an obstacle to God's action towards one's fellow people, thus becoming an instrument that may cause harm and pain instead of effective cooperation. When the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples to seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God, which are both made known in the gospel of God, he does so because it is in the knowledge of the heavenly gospel that the knowledge of the glory of God and the glory of Christ is also included, which, in turn, shows us the glory of which are the various assignments that are exclusively Christ's in the cooperative action of Christians towards God and other individuals. Without the knowledge of what the Heavenly Father has established exclusively for himself, for his Son Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit, it becomes highly complicated for a Christian to carry out the task of cooperation with God and other people, for without a sober knowledge of what the Lord himself longs to accomplish in mutual cooperation, a person will also be devoid of a moderated thought regarding both what one can do in the Lord and what one cannot or should not try to accomplish. As much as someone claims to be trying to act for good, when a person tries to do what belongs exclusively to be performed by God, one does not cooperate with the Lord. Instead, one tries to hinder God's work in the lives of the people to whom one offers one's pretended cooperation. Before wanting to carry out works and cooperation, a Christian is called to personal and direct fellowship with the Lord to be taught and strengthened by him, but also to be instructed about the Lord's functions towards one's life and the lives of other people. In the theme Works, Labors, and Services, we saw that the first and principal work that God asks of a human being is that one trusts in Christ Jesus and that one keeps practicing one's first love, remembering that the first love of a Christian, as a new creature in Christ, is the Lord himself who called him or her to salvation and to the condition of being a Christian. Likewise, also in the theme Vocation, Calling, and Election, we address that a central aspect of eternal life and the sovereign calling of God in Christ Jesus is reconciliation with the Lord so that people can know him through fellowship and so that, through this fellowship, the Lord may grant other instructions of life to a Christian according to the heavenly will, including those that apply to cooperation with God and other people. Thus, it is in the knowledge of who one's God is and who one's Christ is that a Christian can find the provision for moderate thinking or that is according to what is due to think. For this reason, we have repeatedly emphasized the need for a more profound knowledge of the gospel, highlighting among its various aspects also the points addressed in the themes the gospel of the righteousness of God and the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Romans 12:1-3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Ephesians 5:14-17. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. 2 Peter 1:2-3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue,